The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady, now joined by Tony Meola. Nate Buchady, Tony Meola is going to be part of the broadcast crew. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, nationally televised game on Sunday. The last game of the weekend on the MLS calendar. Of course, we'll have the game on the radio here on Sports Radio 810 WHB at 6:30. But on television, it's going to be on Fox Sports 1 with broadcasting legend in the soccer world, JP Della Camera, and of course, Kansas City Wizard legend, Tony Meola as well. Good morning, my good friend, Tony. How are you?
Well, what's up, fellas? Thanks for the little Bruce. Every time I come on, you give me a little either Bruce or Bon Jovi, so I appreciate it.
All right, Tony Meola, we were talking about Out of Bounds with Tony Meola and Marcus Spears a little bit earlier. Jake was reminiscing because he used to run the board for many of those shows. What would you and many of the shows took place at Nick and Jake's. We can remember. So what's your best memory from doing that show with me and Marcus Spears back in the day?
Oh, man, how funny was Marcus Spears doing
right.
That? And I remember the appetizers. I don't know, between the three of us, we probably ordered about a dozen appetizers every show. So, yeah, those were good times, man. And hopefully that helped you somewhere down the road in your radio career. It certainly helped me.
Oh, look, some of those shows, and look, I don't even know if anyone was listening, but Jake was, and we were having fun. I always remember, like, part of the deal was, yeah, we'll take care of their bill while they're here doing the show, and then after they'd see how many appetizers and plates that we would order, they realized that was a big mistake on their part. But man, we always had a great time, and some of my best memories starting out in radio. And so you tell me now, you're coming back here to Kansas City again, and you're part of the national broadcast crew. I'm sure you've already taken a close look at Sporting Kansas City and this edition of the squad that we will see unveiled on Sunday. Tell me, what do you think of all the moves that have been made and what we can expect not only on Sunday, but maybe this season?
Yeah, look, first, I'm excited to get back to Kansas City, as always. It's one of the places that I haven't called the game. And last year, they had New York and they had Red Bull and KC there. And I thought I was going to get that game. And when the schedule came out, I was like, damn, that's a game that I would have really loved to have called. But it's pretty fun to come back. As Nate said, I'm coming back. I work with a legend in the game, a guy that's called the last seven World Cups, JP Della Camera. He's called, I don't know how many, between the men's and the women's finals. I think it's 13 or 12 or 13 finals. And he makes it so easy to work with. And I've been working with him for quite a while. He's a guy that's taught me a lot. And I told him I'm excited to get back to Kansas City. As far as studying, this team is essentially, from an attacking standpoint, a new team. In the offseason, I think Nate would agree that the first sort of order of business was, how are they going to score more goals? They clearly can defend. They don't give up a lot of goals. They bring three or four players in. But the only question I have is if they addressed their number nine position. Diego Rubio last year, and I've been speaking to Peter all week, who filled in after Dom Dwyer left, and I thought grew into the role a little bit, but wasn't nearly as fit as maybe he needed to be at the end of the last year, and not his fault. You know, when you don't play games, it doesn't matter how much you train, right? You're never really game fit. He's come in fitter, but they brought in a kid that I got to see a lot here in New York, Kyrie Shelton, who actually may get the start up top. And I still think there's just question marks there, but the guys behind them that they've brought in are pretty good.
I want to get to those attackers in a moment, maybe a little more specifically, Tony. But one of my questions for you, you're one of the all-time great goalkeepers in the history of American soccer, so you can speak to this too. Sporting, and you were part of some great defensive teams here in Kansas City. You mentioned the Sporting has the defense. They got the reigning MLS goalkeeper of the year. They got the reigning MLS defender of the year. They've got all the pieces back that had the best defense in MLS last year, conceded the fewest goals. How hard is that to replicate, though? Is that, I mean, even if you have all the same pieces, to post the kind of goal scoring or goals conceded record that they did last year, how hard is that to do the following year again, even if you got the same guys back?
Yeah, it's hard, Nate, because, you know, what's been the focus in the offseason is bringing in attacking players, right?
And yeah.
Let's just face it, attacking players don't like to defend, right? I mean, it's not what they're getting paid for. Peter has an obvious way of playing. They press all over the field. But when you have better attacking players, that means you throw more people forward, which means when the ball turns over, you get exposed a little bit more. And I think this team is willing, and what they've seen now, you know, 4 years in a row going through the playoffs, it's great to defend, but eventually you got to score goals and to win games. And so maybe they're willing to give up a little bit, you know, on one end in order to attack a little bit more on the other end. Peter made it clear when I asked him, you know, what does this team look like when you're playing well? One of the things he said, said was that he doesn't want to give up anything defensively. I just think that's sometimes a hard task. It's obviously the goal and the mission and what you work for, but we'll see how it plays out. I think this team here will have a better balance than they had last year, right? So you may have to give up a little bit. And when I say a little bit, you know, just maybe some more opportunities in games. Doesn't mean you still can't get shutouts. You still have to make plays. As you mentioned, they still have guys who can defend. I just think maybe the focus and the balance of the team might be a little bit different and maybe a little bit more heavy on going forward.
I want to ask you about the guy you mentioned, Kyrie Shelton. You're out in New York, so you saw him when he did get opportunities with NYCFC. I find him intriguing, Tony, because he was the second overall pick in the draft just a couple years ago. He got off to a decent start with NYCFC, but clearly, you know, guys passed him by or he didn't fit in or whatever. Peter has shown the ability over the years to bring in guys. That old adage maybe of one guy's trash is another man's treasure. He's been able to get stuff out of guys that maybe other managers didn't see or couldn't get out of them. Did you see enough from at least a physical ability standpoint or whatever from Kyrie Shelton? Could he be one of those types of guys that Peter is able to get the most out of?
Look, I said to Peter when we had him on the radio last week, actually it was this week, I said, look, I think this is a pretty shrewd move on your part. Look, Kyrie Shelton, you mentioned, was second overall pick. He's still only 22 years old. We know the physical. He can run by anybody. Think about the position he was in New York. When you're playing in New York, the one thing they're going to do is spend money, big-time money, on attacking players. Right, and think of the guys he had to compete with. And in particular, if you're going to play as a number nine, you had to compete with David Villa in New York, right? So there's not a lot of room. And then they had some other guys who grew into roles that maybe they didn't even expect to grow into roles, so he didn't get a chance. I think he's going to get a chance here in Kansas City. I think I'm trying to think of Kansas City players. Maybe he's not a CJ Sapong type player that they had. He's a guy that will run in behind you a little bit and can open up his legs and really fly by people. What he will be if Sporting gets out on a counterattack during games, if that's the way a game plays out, he's going to be really effective. Holding up the ball maybe is his issue, but I'm sure, you know, having played with Peter and knowing where he started as a player as a number nine, that's probably something that they've addressed. And, you know, I think he's going to be pretty useful for this group.
Let's talk about what type of a match we could see in this one, because a lot of times, Tony, and most times, when other teams come to Children's Mercy Park, they park the bus. You know, they don't come here to play. They come here to frustrate Sporting Kansas City and sometimes to success. I mean, it is frustrating when there's 10 guys behind the ball and Sporting, you know, have the ball a lot, but it's difficult to break down. I get the sense that's not how NYCFC wants to play things usually, though. Do you expect them to come out here and open things up and play?
Yeah, they're not a sit back team. They will, and they're almost stubborn in the way that they want to build out of the back. So, one of my points in the open of the show, the way I'm thinking is, how do they deal with Kansas City's pressure early on? You know, I kind of wish this game was like week two or three, maybe even four of the season when teams, I really do, because
yeah,
let's face it, it doesn't matter if you're watching the NFL or if you're watching the NBA or Major League Baseball, the first game of the season, like, no one really knows what. It's probably a better comparison to the NFL because they have fewer games than those other sports, but you just never know, right? In week one, how people react, and there's different emotions, and sometimes you're just not up to speed. So, if this is, for lack of a better term, a normal, you know, performance by both teams, it should be a pretty exciting game. How NYCFC deals with that pressure, you know, because they, like I said, they're very stubborn in the way they want to build out, is going to be interesting. I think if they can break Kansas City's pressure early in the game, we'll see what Kansas City decide to do. But as you've seen, you call a heck of a lot more games than I ever will in Kansas City. They don't have a second gear as far as putting pressure on teams. You know, they only know one way, and it's going to be up to New York to try and break it.
All right, Tony, we're going through this in baseball right now. Everyone loves to make picks before the season starts. So if you had a chance to take a look across the league and maybe make your pick as to who you think is the best team and who will end up hoisting the cup at the end, and if so, how close do you think Sporting Kansas City right now is to the top of MLS? What should expectations be for Kansas City fans?
Well, if you held my feet to the fire a little bit, I suppose I would pick the easy out right now, and that's Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Defending champions have built. Steven, this is probably the most interesting year in Major League Soccer that we've ever had. You know, the last 4 or 5 years we've seen a little bit of a shift in money spending. This year we've seen more of a shift in money spending and spending it on young international players. We've never seen this before in our league. So how do these guys like Crozet, who's a 26-year-old that's come in, or Johnny Russell, who's got some experience, who comes in from Derby County for Sporting. We mentioned Kyrie Shelton there, and Gutierrez, the you know, full international. How do these guys change the way Kansas City looks? I think Kansas City, I said it yesterday, I think they're a playoff team, there's no doubt. And the Western Conference is interesting because the team who won it last year has a new coach. Seattle, who we know, just lost one of their top players in Jordan Morris. So I think the West is wide open. If you told me at the end of the year, Steven, that Kansas City won the Western Conference, I wouldn't be surprised. And then if you told me they finished sixth, I wouldn't be surprised either. I think that's how close the Western Conference is. But I definitely see them as a playoff team. And look, we know in the playoffs what can happen, just about anything in our league. And you know, Kansas City's got to get past that next step. I think they've got a group this year that's ready to do that.
So, Tony, I believe the last time we had you on the show was the day after the darkest day I can ever remember in American soccer history. It was the day after the collapse against Trinidad and Tobago when we got knocked out of the World Cup, and you were trying to cheer me up. You know, we were commiserating together. We've seen some of the fallout now. There's a new president that just got elected last week. Where do we go from here? I mean, where are we now compared to when I talked to you and you came on to give us perspective on that day?
Well, I think what we've seen is the soccer world continues, right? And we're past that. I think the pain will go away, Nate. All of the pain will go away once the World Cup is over, right? And we now start focusing on 2022. I'm pretty bullish on this young crop of players in American soccer. We've got guys playing all over Europe. We've got guys playing in the league now. We've seen some of this young talent now in the first couple games after the World Cup. We need to make a decision on a coach. Well, first, I guess we're going to make a decision on a general manager, then who the coach is going to be. And I would think that this coach, whoever it is going to have, is going to be someone with a real grasp of how talented our young players are. For me, we're at a point where we can really build something again. We had to do this back in the late 80s and early 90s. We had to build, and we're at that point again. I shudder to say that maybe 4 years from now, or 4.5 years from now, we're going to realize that missing out on the World Cup may have been a good thing. I can't think of a lot of good things that have happened because, you know, it takes money away from soccer in this country and television and growing the audience and all this. There's so many negatives, but from purely a playing standpoint and integrating these young players, it maybe will be a blessing in disguise for us down the road.
Are you going to have any time when you get out here? I know you're kind of in and out for this game. Will you have any time to go over to the National Training Center, what they call Pinnacle now, to take a look at that facility?
Well, I was supposed to fly in about an hour ago, and everything's canceled out of New Jersey. You know,
there's
a big storm coming in. It's really windy. So I'm in tomorrow morning. I'm going straight from the airport to Pinnacle, meeting with Peter and a couple of players. And then Pete's going to give me a tour, and then I'm guessing right after that, before I even go to the hotel, I will visit Jack Stack, and I will be getting some barbecue.
So that's what I was going to ask you. What's the first stop if you've got time? Where do you go? Jack Stack it is, huh?
I think it's Jack Stack, and then the hotel. There's a slight possibility, depending on my producer, if he wants to go to the hotel first. And so that's the only undecided thing right now. But at some point tomorrow, I'm going to be at Jack Stack, and you guys are welcome to join me.
That sounds delicious.
Let us know.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't have to twist my arm to go down there. Well, it's going to be good to have you back in town. Hopefully, you get out of there, okay, with all the weather up in the East Coast. So. Have a safe trip to Kansas City. So do you leave Sunday night, or are you going to hang around until Monday?
Yeah, I'm going back Monday. So I'm assuming you guys are going to the game and you're going to stop up in the booth either before or after or during and, you know, make fun of us or something. You got to do something. I got to see you.
We'll figure something out. You know, we can always make fun of each other. We were good at that back in the day. But, hey, Tony, it's always good to hear from you. Please say hello to all of your family for me. And
you as well, brother.
Look forward to seeing you this weekend, man.
You got it, man. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
That's Tony Meola. Used to do a show on Sports Radio 810 with Tony Meola and Marcus Spears, Out of Bounds. Great family, great guy. One of my, someone that really was good for me early in my career. You know, someone like that wanted to do a show with me, and then we brought in Marcus from the Chiefs. We're like, you know what? Let's just have fun and not talk about sports. And so now that's why I do a 4-hour sports show and talk about sports for about 20 minutes a morning. And then as someone posted the other day, sometimes they squeeze interviews in between playing grab ass and telling jokes. And that's what we try to do, you know, because I think 80% is what we were sat down to do the show together. They said we want 80% grab ass, and I think we followed through, haven't we?
Was that person that posted that, were they saying it in a complimentary way,
no,
or they were criticizing?
Right.
I'm gonna be honest.
Too much grab ass.
And the handle that on that post was Jake Goody NOP, which I don't know what.
Weird. Strange coincidence. But we are a little behind on the grab ass this week.
Right.
We need to pick it up a little bit.
Well, listen or lose is going to be coming up in a
couple. Well, hopefully that'll balance. That's the balance that we're looking for.
I'm sick and tired of these guys laughing and trying to have a good time.
Why does it sound like that?
You know, this is serious. I want them to talk sports. This is important stuff. Serious.
Is it?
Be serious. Darn it.
I don't know who that's supposed to be.
You guys, that's the guy that posted.
Oh, I'm sorry. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.